This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Well-meaning elderly man with a poor memory is your president and supposedly the Democrat candidate to run your country for the next 4 years. Oh, and he mishandled classified documents, but doesn't really remember it, so it doesn't count? Damn, it's a good thing Democrats have those mail-in ballots. Am I right? The show starts now. So the leftists and their cheerleaders in the mainstream media really got themselves wedged between a classified rock and a dementia hard place during yesterday's special counsel, her testimony on Capitol Hill. They tried to both deny Joe Biden is a failing and decrepit man with a poor memory, but also defend his retention and storage of classified documents. So let's just say the exoneration wasn't exonerating.
So this lengthy, expensive, and independent investigation resulted in a complete exoneration of President Joe Biden.
I need to go back and make sure that I take note of the word that you used, exoneration. That
Mr.
is not
Kerr,
a word that
I'm going to continue with my questions.
Part of my task as
I'm going to continue with my questions. I know that the term
I ultimately reached related
I know that
to whether
the
sufficient
term,
evidence existed such that the likely
you
outcome
you exonerated
a conviction.
I know that
I did
the
not
term willful retention
does not appear in the report,
has a Mr. Kerr, it's my time.
It's her time. The whole session felt more like a Bravo Housewives reunion than a congressional hearing, but this part in particular felt a lot like a board game titled Clue, Nursing Home Edition.
Mr. Herr, classified documents were found at the Penn Biden Center?
That's correct.
They were found in President Biden's garage?
In Wilmington, Delaware, yes.
And in his basement den?
Also in the same home, yes.
And his main floor office?
Correct.
And his third floor den?
Correct.
At the University of Delaware?
Correct.
And at the Biden Institute?
Correct.
Penn Biden Center, garage, den, office, other den, University of Delaware, Biden Institute. Is there anywhere Joe didn't keep classified documents? The Democrats in the room tried their damnedest to clear Joe Biden of wrongdoing by using their favorite distraction, the Trump card. But no matter how they try to slice this thing up, the fact remains that Joe Biden mishandled classified documents, but will not have to face the prosecutorial music for it because he's too old and senile to know better. So he couldn't manage to safeguard classified documents as vice president many years ago. But now he is entrusted to safeguard them and our country on a daily basis as president of the United States. Oh, the math is just not mathing. I'd also like to point out that when it comes to espionage and treason, there is no act more befitting of those charges than what we have allowed at our southern border, thanks to Joe. But hey, I guess if he doesn't remember it, then it's excusable. Joining me now with his take is host of Battleground Live, Sean Parnell. Oh, Sean, there's so much news today. I want to start with the testimony you heard around the world. Democrats, and it wasn't just Jayapal, but many others, they really tried to get her to say that Biden was exonerated, and he repeatedly had to correct them. They didn't seem very interested in his answers. But what was your take on that whole dog and pony show?
Tommy, I honestly had to stop because I was watching the whole thing live. I had to stop. Like, pause the TV on DVR, and I just started laughing, not because the situation isn't horrifying, precisely because the situation is so egregious and horrifying, one wonders how anything like this could ever happen in the United States of America. And then listen, I say this as somebody, as a combat veteran with a top secret, a former guy that had a top secret government security clearance, as a young captain was a courier of top secret information. It blows my mind that something like this could even happen because you can't just go into the skiff and take out classified information. You can't bring in a bag. You can't bring in a cell phone. You can't bring in anything. So for me, like, my first question is how does then Senator or even perhaps Vice President Biden get that information out of the skiff without being stopped 15 times by security? I mean, it's absolutely unbelievable. Summarize it, Tommy. It's like Biden essentially steals top secret information from a SCIF, a sensitive compartmentalized information facility, while a senator or VP, keeping in mind that he does not have the declassification authority to do any of that. There are video recordings that were made public in that hearing yesterday between, or at least of his ghostwriter saying basically, and of course I'm paraphrasing, hey, big guy, like I have all the classified documents. They were in a folded up dog crate in your garage. And oh, by the way, this is a garage in a house that Joe Biden shares with Hunter Biden. Don't need to say anything more about that. But the reason why this conversation happened in the first place was because Biden intended to put that information, the classified information, in a book where that was his biography. That's why the conversation with the ghostwriter happened in the first place. All of this was so that he could sell this information to the highest bidder for $8 million. In this case, it's a publisher. So to put it simply, Tommy, Joe Biden steals classified information and sells it. If that happens, my goodness, if you or I did that, we would be locked up for decades.
Right.
And so not only is there a two-tiered system of justice in this country between Democrats and Republicans, but there's also a two-tiered system of justice between the elites, the Uniparty, and the rest of us. And it's just so, so bad. So bad.
Well, this Joe Biden book, you know, thank God there's a ghostwriter involved, because I can't imagine him trying to write a book himself at this point. There was part of the transcript, though, that I thought was interesting, really read like a four-year-old, not an 80-something-year-old. But it was where he was talking about his Corvette going vroom, vroom. that gave me a lot of confidence in my government. But, you know, there's something interesting here that I want to get your take on. In the transcript and the information that we have about when he was interviewed for this, you know, investigation, it felt like every time they were getting to the bottom of his criminal activity and what exactly he did here, it felt like he veered off into something like the Corvette going vroom, vroom. And some would say that's because of a failing memory. But to me, although I do believe he's got a failing memory, it feels very convenient when he dives in and out of being dementia ridden. And it almost seems to me like maybe he's playing this up to get out of whatever else he's involved in, whether it be the pay-to-play scheme, these classified documents, maybe something else. It feels like he uses his convenient amnesia maybe to his benefit. So maybe he's playing us all a little bit, and we just think it's dementia, and it's actually something far more sinister. Do you think he's playing dumb?
Joe Biden playing dumb, I mean, that's given him a lot of credit. I'd say that. I mean, Joe Biden, and I think even fellow Democrats would say this behind closed doors, has been dumb his entire career as a senator. So to be fair, and I mean that, he's not a smart guy. But what Joe Biden does very, very well, and I'm so glad that you brought this up, is he does consciously, and I don't know at this point, Tommy, if it's a mix between cognitive decline and how he's always been as it pertains to like telling lies. But Joe Biden is very manipulative, and he uses these stories, most notably, and this got headlines about, and in fact, Joe Biden came out at that press conference and talked about his son, Bo, mm-hmm. and how dare the prosecutor ask about the death of his son, which, by just to be clear, I can't imagine that pain. I don't wish it on anybody. However, Joe Biden, it's clear now that when Joe Biden said that from the podium at that press conference, the day the report came out, it's clear as day today, as of yesterday, that that was a lie, because Joe Biden brought up the death of his son, and he used that almost as if it were a shield to deflect the conversation away from answering the question in a clear-cut way, and he does this all the time, whether it's to build a false rapport with Gold Star families who tragically lost loved ones in the field, or to deflect from very probing questions from the press, in this case, Special Counsel Robert Hur. He is very manipulative. So to your question, I think I would just say Joe Biden's been stupid for a long time, and he's been a liar for a long time, and he uses those lies to deflect from tough questions. But today it's probably a mix of dementia and the way he's always been.
you start believing your own lies at some point. So I think that might be it. I think also, and I could be wrong in this, but I seem to remember that when he did bring up the death of his son, he was able to get the month and the day right, but not the year. So that's a very convenient part of all of this, too. It's like almost if he said the year, which he probably knew, that that would be incriminating. So it had to be, was I vice president when I left? You know, again, it does seem very convenient. We know people with dementia, Alzheimer's, they go in and out. He goes in and out in a very strategic way. So I wouldn't put it past him. I think that the narcissism can sometimes override the dementia in certain instances. But there was another part of this when it comes to the White House and them trying to make little tweaks and adjustments. Obviously very upset about the references to his memory and his, you know, failing cognitive abilities. But now we know from yesterday, too, that they sought to edit or soften that language. Jim Jordan specifically asked about it. I want to play the clip for those who haven't heard it.
Once they got the report before it went public, did the White House try to weigh in with your investigation on elements of that report and, frankly, get the report changed?
They did request certain edits and changes to the draft report.
So, Sean, first thing I want to point out is I love Jim Jordan's commitment to always wearing the blue shirt and yellow tie. I love that for him. It's his trademark. But beyond that, a great question. Disturbing, though, that they wanted to make edits and tweaks. Very interesting. I wish we could hear more on that because I think there's a lot more there.
Oh, absolutely. But I would just say at this point, after everything that we've experienced since 2020, it doesn't surprise me at all. And you mentioned something about the truth and how the media has talked about this and how Biden's staff has talked about this and tried to spin this after the fact. And I've been thinking quite a bit about this topic. The Democrats in today's day and age, and part of the reason why you have more questions about that soundbite, and part of the reason why there's so little faith between the American people writ large and our institutions is precisely because the Democrats have adopted not just the tactic of lying. As we're talking about Biden's cognitive state, I think you saw Joe Scarborough came out a couple of days ago saying, not recognizing at all what we clearly see with our own eyes and hear with our own ears, that Joe Biden is clearly in a state of cognitive decline. We can see it. But then you have Joe Scarborough and other members of the media come out, Tommy, and say, not only is Joe Biden not suffering from cognitive decline, he's the best he's ever been, the sharpest he's ever been. So he's not coming out and saying, well, you know, yeah, Joe Biden used to be a little faster 10 years ago. He's a little bit older. There's none of that nuance. And so what the Democrats do, not only do they lie, but they're anti-truth. They tell the polar opposite of the truth. And that's part of the reason why the American people are where we are in terms of trust in government and trust in the media. But what I'm building to is that creates a sense in us, people who watch the news in good faith and pull the voting lever in good faith for a candidate that we prefer, it causes us to question our own reality. Like, wait, am I wrong about Joe Biden? Wait, if Joe Scarborough thinks that he's sharp as a tack, am I just being too harsh, too critical? It seizes on the good faith of the American people. And that's why it's particularly sinister. It's a sinister tactic that the Democrats have adopted. I don't think it will work because the American people now can see Joe Biden for who he is, but it's still concerning as hell.
Yeah, the emperor has no clothes, and I think it's obvious. I never want to see Joe without clothes. We've seen enough of him on the beach. Speaking of lies the government has told us, I mean, that's a great book title. Feel free to use it. January 6th, I call it Liberal Christmas. But now we're getting some more information on that, too. You know, we're all conspiracy theorists when we said it could be maybe somewhat of an inside job. Things are not adding up here. Well, now we get information that this sensational story from Cassidy Hutchinson about Donald Trump lunging for the steering wheel and saying, I want to go take part in the riot. Oh, it turns out that nobody corroborated that, and that was a bunch of BS. So you've got that. Then you have the tale of how Donald Trump wouldn't send the National Guard, turns out, also a lie. So pretty much everything we've been told about January 6th has been a lie, probably even more that we're unaware of, at least to this point, at least documented. But what does this do to the charges against him, the claims of insurrection? Do you think anybody will change their minds given this new information?
I think so. I mean, And the reason for that and the blame for that can be laid at the feet of the Democrats, because as you said, they have done nothing for the last several years but trot out January 6th. They've campaigned on it. They've did a fake committee on it. They're constantly talking about insurrection, 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 as if by saying it over and over, it makes it true. But now, as more information trickles out, the American people can see very clearly, and I mean, not the 25% of hardcore radical leftists that don't want to be convinced otherwise. I'm talking about, you know, the people that are watching and thinking for themselves in this country. Those people can be swayed. And I think that they are going to say, holy smokes, I think I was fed a bill of goods with regards to January 6th. And again, it doesn't seem, it's like not a month goes by, Tommy, where there's not some sort of pillar of propaganda that was foisted upon us by the government that is just a wholesale collapse with January 6th. And so by the time we get to the election day, I mean, look, I'll just say this. If it's been very clear to me, I mean, I know Donald Trump, I know his family, I know Kash Patel very well. Kash Patel witnessed Donald Trump saying that he wanted 10,000 troops there mm-hmm. to secure the Capitol. How is somebody an insurrectionist? I mean, of course, that's absurd on its face. But how is somebody an insurrectionist who is simultaneously trying to protect the Capitol with American troops? It's the whole thing is absurd. And I think the American people are going to see through it.
The American people that are getting the information, that's still my concern. The correction is always smaller than the accusation. And unfortunately, the accusations stick. There's a lot of low information viewers and voters who still believe Donald Trump is a Russian agent that got golden showers, that rode horseback with Putin. They're going to believe that he incited insurrection on January 6th because they're not reading and they're not listening to the correction, because the correction, and maybe I'm wrong, maybe they did lead with this last night on MSNBC and CNN, but I'm highly doubting that they even mentioned it. And that's the part that really bothers me. But speaking of misinformation, disinformation, propaganda, I want to get your take on the news of the day, which is TikTok maybe being on its last leg. I go back and forth with this as someone who despises TikTok and the platform itself for many reasons, but also is a little bit concerned when the government in a bipartisan way agrees that maybe TikTok is a threat, but every other, you know, big tech entity is empowered. That gives me a little cause for pause, because it's like, all right, what are you doing here? But before I get your take on it, we have to play the world's tiniest violin for the TikTok creators, who are very worried that if not for their TikToking, they might not have jobs or mental health. Let's take a listen.
So many people, not only 5 million small businesses rely on it, but 170 million people rely on this app for more than just their livelihood. They rely on this app for their mental health. They've connected with people. They've made lifelong connections that wouldn't have been possible elsewhere because of TikTok, period.
Yeah, I cry no tears. What's your take on all this?
Concerns, and I go back and forth on it as well. I'm a free speech guy, and I do not like the idea of China being able to have access to the data of that 170 million people. Now, people say ByteDance is an American company, but if it's connected to the CCP in any way, you can bet that they're accessing that data. There are no private companies in China. On the other hand, right, and I think we can walk and chew gum at the same time and tackle complex issues like this. We said, they're saying in the military, the 25 meter target, you've got to look at the 25 meter target first, because often that's the target that's going to kill you first, right? Mm-hmm. But we have Google, we have Meta, which is Facebook and Instagram, we have YouTube. These are all massive big tech companies that have clearly taken part in electioneering with Mark Zuckerberg and Zuckbucks, that have clearly censored information coming out of COVID or information that just doesn't toe the line with the government narrative. To me, you know, having spent a lot of time on Capitol Hill, this feels like this whole TikTok stuff feels like it gives Democrats and Republicans a little bit of cover by giving them the ability to say, hey, look, I'm going after big tech and I'm being tough on China, while simultaneously not doing anything about Google, Facebook, Meta, Instagram, who censor Americans and get involved in elections on the daily, right? And mm-hmm. so I think why aren't we tackling and looking at the 25 meter target? And I think the reason is that they just get these lobbying. You know, they get money from Google, Facebook, Instagram that supports their people's campaigns, and they don't want to touch this stuff with a 10-foot pole. Also, what I'm concerned about is nested within this bill is the idea that the executive branch has sole discretion of basically forcing the sale of a social media company that they believe is involved in election interference.
Right.
And you could see how that would happen, right? Like the next Hunter Biden laptop story that's published on, say, X, for example, deep state or somebody comes out and says, well, that's Russian disinformation. X, you've got to take it down. And then X says, nah, I don't think we're going to do that this time around, because when the intelligence community says that something's Russian disinformation, 99% of the time it's not. So we're just going to let the American people decide. And then all of a sudden you've got the government saying, well, you know what? That's election interference. We're going to force Elon to sell the site. I reject anything and everything that gives the government more power and authority right. over their lives. And this is one of those things.
That's what worries me as well. And I think you're exactly right with the X of all of this, because it's very easy then to use this as a precedent and say, well, you know, we went after TikTok because it was Chinese communist. So we're going to go after X too, you know, Elon, like nobody is above the law. I can see them that's using right. this and manipulating this. And that's what concerns me. Here's my perspective on TikTok. I think TikTok is digital fentanyl. I think it's stupid. I think it's moronic. I don't know why people can't just use Instagram. I don't like it. But I think it's more up to parents to dictate the usage of not just that, but social media in general. I'd rather parents take the lead on that. Many are not going to. But unfortunately, we can't decide the way other people parent their kids. So
I agree.
It remains to be seen. And I think that there's going to be money on both sides of this. I think there's going to be people that are lobbying on behalf of TikTok and the groups associated with that. We just got reports Kellyanne Conway may be doing some of that work. And then on the other side, I think you're going to have people that might be on the take because the buyer might be influencing other members, other leadership positions to say, oh, like we want to buy it. So maybe ban it so that or deinvest and then I can buy it. So I think it's going to be interesting to see who the highest bidder is. I don't think that there are many people that are still representing us that actually care about us. I think it's all about who's going to make them more money. But it's been a busy week for news. And I appreciate your take on all of it. Please come back soon. I really appreciate your time.
Anytime, Tommy. Thanks for having me. Take care.
God bless. All right, folks. Apparently, Joe Biden doesn't need congressional approval to secure Ukraine's border. Oh, you bet I have some final thoughts. Our well-meaning elderly president with a poor memory, failing brain, and crooked spirit has maintained that he, despite using executive order to undo Trump's border measures, cannot or will not use his authority to stem the flow of illegals bum-rushing our country. Look at this. Somehow, in some way, Joe Biden found it in his heart and within his power to authorize another $300 million worth of equipment and weapons to send to Ukraine.
Today, the United States is announcing an emergency package for Ukraine using cost savings from previously approved Pentagon contracts, which I have the authority to do without asking Congress for some more money right now. But I've asked them for a lot more money. And but it's not nearly enough what I'm announcing today.
No, Congress did not approve this, but Joe did it anyway. Why? Because he is beholden to Ukraine, but he is not beholden to you. All this while his precious illegal aliens are murdering Americans right, left, and center, all while the world at large is actively emptying its prisons and sending its degenerates and thugs our way. And guess what? More are en route.
So what's the difference between Haiti and a failed state? It's telling, right? We can't really identify them because the gangs are in charge, the government has been thrown out, and as a Florida man, I'm deeply concerned about this wave of people that we're about to have, that we are having, coming from Haiti, and it will accelerate.
At the moment, we have not yet seen large numbers, what we would characterize as a maritime mass migration. But
you
we are alert to that
mass migration, though.
We are alert to that possibility.
Oh, goody! So we have that to look forward to. Haiti is a failed state, by the way. A few years back, when Donald Trump allegedly referred to it as a crap hole country, he was not wrong. That doesn't mean all the people in Haiti are bad or criminal or lawless, but it means that the nation of Haiti is a flippin' disaster, and why we would sign ourselves up to shoulder more of its burden along with the rest of the world's burdens is beyond me. Well, unless you take into consideration that the people who run your country hate your country, in which case, this all makes perfect sense. Tax season is upon us, my fellow Americans, so make sure you get that taken care of because the rest of the world is depending on it. Those are my final thoughts from Nashville. God bless and take care.